You are listening to a sermon series from Open Door Fellowship Church.
Morning again, Open Door. I am way outside of my comfort zone doing this morning. My comfort sweet space with Jesus and I is in my head and in my heart, and the beautiful things that he gives me, for my family, for us as Open Door, but to communicate the same, way 20 miles outside of my comfort zone. It could take me 20 minutes. It could take, we could be here at 2. I really just don't know where this goes. I feel like this barnacle-covered oyster and Jesus just going, no, it's moments like this where I want you to just open that up and take out this oyster that you guys, many of you have also. And let's just look at what God's given us and the reality of what he's done, which touches vision, direction, and reality for Open Door. I needed that last song, the beautiful name of Jesus, to calm me from the odd places my head can go on this. So pray with me for this message. Father God, Philippians 4:6, you make it really clear when I'm worried, and I'm worried that I can be so clumsy with my words. Jesus, I take my worries and supplication to you, my King. Let this be your word alive. May we see the kingdom of God just as you invite us to seek it, and you will reveal kingdom. God, show us what is completed and what is active before us. In your name, amen. I'm going to share an experience that I had at 20 years old. That's 1994. For the math, I'm 43 years old. And 1994 in July, 118 degrees and 90% humidity in San Carlos, Mexico. San Carlos is on the mainland side of Mexico, halfway down the Sea of Cortez. In those days, from age 16 to about 25, Shannon's dad, my father-in-law at this time, not at that time, we spent all the time together, including our go-to was deep-sea fishing. He introduced me to it, and we loved it and had done tons of it. And then here in 1994, this is the first time he and I together go down, and we're going to go compete in a big topwater fishing tournament. And this is the big one. This is the one the big boys do once a year in Mexico, one of the hottest spots for top kingfish. And it's by, when I say big boys, I'm talking $5 million fishing ships that take 15 guys to run the rig, four anglers on the back end to line it all up, and the guy who finally brings it in gets credit. Well, we're ready to go compete with these big boys in our 1974 little fishing boat, just the two of us, and we're convinced we can do this. And so we set out, and I give you that weather because it's steaming hot, but man, that's the stuff big boys do. We're gonna go grit this humidity, and we're gonna have this awesome time. It's 3 days of what they call open fish. The cannon blasts at 6 a.m. and it blasts again at 8 p.m. and it's open 14 hours of open fish. Catch what you catch out there at the prime of what you can catch, and you come in and someone's gonna win. So, cannon blast, first day we go out, and by all accounts, everyone in this room, if you were to see what we brought in on that first day, you'd say we had a stellar day. Our fish wells were full of Dorado and Bonita and Needlefish, all fantastic size. They were so fun to catch, but that's not what wins this tournament. The big billfish do, sailfish and marlin, and not one of those was in our boat. So we weren't that disappointed. It was an amazing day, but we weren't placing in this tournament. Day two rolls around, and San Carlos, by the way, is a very unique port in the Sea of Cortez. It's the most protected port. There's 2 miles of beyond the reef break to get into the marina, that you move through this wide port and get into this marina in the safe harbor behind a mountain that's in the way of any wave. So it can be 10-foot swells out there, and the boats in the marina and the wet slips are just barely even moving. It's a nice protected marina. Day two, before that cannon blasts, and it's so much fun. It's wild when that cannon blasts, because you're in this big marina and 50 of these big, big boats in us in the little 26-footer rocking around in this wild bathtub when that cannon blasts and we all head out. Well, when we came out the doors of our hotel on that morning, it's overcast and it's windy. And we know enough with years of fishing going, oh boy, we're in for an interesting day. Cannon blasts and the fun and the anticipation, we all get out. As soon as we left the breakwater, we're out into open sea, the radio chatter just is going like crazy because it's already 8-foot swells and seas. It's a rough day, and it's 6 a.m. We're in for a big one. So by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, these were 11-foot seas, and we had been spending the day riding down a mountain of wave and hitting that and cutting through. all day banging that boat. Early afternoon, this story is like 6 hours long. Even I kid you not. I'm going to jump over the dramatic, crazy stuff. I'm going to jump over that. I will bore you. I'm a really bad storyteller, actually. So the really short version is hours and hours of beating this thing apart. We really beat it apart. The deck, that's the top part, the hull, H-U-L-L, is the deep V of the boat, had separated. A six-foot span on the front port side or left side of that boat had separated, and the fiberglass crushed in. Every touch of that to the bow was probably taking in 5 gallons. I don't know how, taking in water, a lot. Because we noticed that the bow of that boat is underwater. In the afternoon, here comes the six-hour version. We're going to jump right over it. We gun it. Crazy stuff happens. And long story short, we don't drown. I'm actually here. And and we got boats to come in. And it's called buddy boating in. So we rowed in the wake, the breakwater of another much larger boat. Every boat was larger. And we made it in like 10, 11 o'clock at night. It's when we finally get it out and on the trailer. And we get the first looking up at that crushed in front end that we had imagined and hung over and saw a little bit of, but we get a good look at it late at night. And you'd think we were done. A little bit of crazy in here, a little bit of machismo, we came to do something else, and we wake up the sleeping security guard in the boatyard, and we scour his boatyard and another, and we get a bunch of rebar and metal and fiberglass mesh and fiberglass resin, and we rebuild the sucker. About 4 a.m., a little after, we're done. And this baby's as ugly as it gets. It doesn't get any worse looking than the front end of this boat, but it's shipworthy. It's oceanworthy. It's going to cut. We're gonna go out the next day. And sure enough, we were. 6 a.m., we were out there with the next guys. I think we slept 20 minutes. And out there in that weather, and it was a beautiful day. Gorgeous sunrise, and we're just stoked. We're like little kids. And cannon blasts, and we take off again, and we head out. We come in pretty early in the afternoon, and we have till 8 o'clock to finish fishing, but we come in probably around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We're done. We finish this tournament, and it had to be a sight to see. People line up, because this is the big, I'm not kidding, this is the big, big tournament down there. People are lining up in all the port, and we come in through that long 2-mile stretch, and there's people all along the way. We had to be a sight to see. That front end was hideous. The boat's supposed to drive like this. It's kind of driving like this just from rebar weight in the front end. We didn't care. All we saw was on the back of that boat was an 11-foot, 170-pound blue marlin. We were puffed up and excited. We're going to place. The next day is the ceremony. We take 6th place in the tournament. We competed with the big boys. We did it. You guys, we went down with a vision to compete with the big boys. Yeah, it was pride-centric. We'll get to better points in a minute. That was the vision. And the mission, how are we going to do that? We had to catch a big billfish. Nothing else wins this baby but the big bills. And we did. You guys, there was at least an hour, probably many hours in there in that night where it sounded really good to just stay at port, stay on the white sandy beaches of San Carlos and enjoy and take in the scenery over the next 2 days and watch the ceremony and head back. That would have been fun too. But that's not who we were. It's not what we were there for. And it's definitely not what that boat was built for. I did not have this clicking skill that I still don't have. There we go. I did not have this quote until only a handful of years ago that I come across. This is a famous old one. Many of you probably know this. But this, when I read this quote now, that experience, every smell of fried smoking wires as it's about to sink, and every experience of the nausea of trying to fix this thing head underwater, of that experience come vividly to mind when I see this. The ship is safest when it's at port, for sure. And we all need port. But it's not what ships were built for. God tells us the reality that we have been created for something, we have been redeemed to it, and we have something that he's not done doing in us. We have been created for, redeemed to, and built for something. And he doesn't leave that one mysterious. He tells us how he rebuilt us, and he tells us what for. So when we speak of vision on this morning, we're speaking of looking. God, you tell us. You tell us what to do. These next, heart and soul questions have probably been worded and wondered thousands of different ways, surely amidst tons of different circumstances. You know your own individual circumstances, but a couple of questions that we all get to wrestle with in our heart and soul. What, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? We get to ask ourselves that once for all and secure in it, and as many thousands of times that we ask ourselves again, all for one. And one answer, do I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I'm a yes guy on that one. And do I believe that that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on a cross? And he died on a cross for the purpose of my sins, the ones that are in the past that are addressed, the ones that presently I'm contemplating permission and temptation in, or judgment or condemnation of another in, or the ones long in my future that God only knows that I'm definitely going to walk through. That he died for all of those sins and the sins of the world, not me alone, but every one of us. I'm a yes guy to that question too. So I'm a yes, yes guy. If that's true of you, even for the first time, real time, right now, you're answering those questions for yes, and you're a yes, yes person. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If I get to confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, then that's it. Done. Salvation not alone, though. There's so much more that he's about actively. So if you also are a yes, yes person, then that's true about you, the individual, just like it's true about me, Sam Hill. That's true that it is completed. And there's another name that we're given, though. There's this amazing, sweet name that we get given in Scripture 115 times in the New Testament. And your name, if you're yes, yes, then this is your name, Ecclesia. We see that 115 times, and it's a declarative reality that in our English language, that's church. But it's not a place you go. It's not a denomination. It's not a style of worship music. It's you. It's the us factor that believe and how God's actively moving in his name of his bride of Christ and the collective movement of his Holy Spirit when he speaks of the kingdom of God and the moving work of the church ecclesia. It is this beautiful name of who you and I are. I want to look at this scripture. If I'm a yes, yes person, if you're a yes, yes person, and that's true about you right now for the first time, or it's been for so much of your life, then this is true about you, and it has been ever since that yes, yes. There's this word federal that we don't use much, but I'm going to describe it. It's a legal term, federal, or more accurately in our experience, federated, past tense, accomplished, and present reality. The definition of that word is the distribution of power in a relationship between a central authority and its constituent units. The church, ecclesia, you see, you and I, are not peripheral. There's a central authority, Christ. And its constituent units, us, yes, yes, people. An example, so when you hear that word federal, you think of government. We're under a federal government. I'm a citizen of the United States. If you happen to be by a number of ways of that citizenship, then you have inherited the legal humanitarian rights that go with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And if you and I lived in Bosnia, where our friends are going, that would not be true. Your humanitarian rights are different there. They're different in Australia. They're different in Japan, even amongst the free world. Your federal relationship is united with that citizenship. And your humanitarian rights even are directly related to the Bill of Rights and the Constitution and those who died and served associated with that. You've inherited that right. Client attorney privilege example. If I'm in a big trial and I've got an attorney that's just stellar, rock star, I've got a job to do too in that courtroom. I got to sit with my mouth shut in a leather chair at a table and do nothing. He's the one with the legal rights to represent me in that case. And to the success of his accomplishment, I benefit the results. And if, frankly, he sucks as an attorney, well, then I'm going to reap the actual legal results of that case because I'm in a legal relationship with that attorney. Shannon and I are married. We've been married for 21 years. And if I secretly amass a mountain of debt of which she had no part of, that pile of debt is hers because I'm in a federated, federal relationship, united in the legal bonds of those acts. You and I, yes, people, yes, yes, people, you're in a federal relationship, a legal relationship, not under the law, but freed from the Mosaic law, with Christ's fulfillment in us and our faith in him, and freed into the new covenant where he lives in and through you and I. Still a legal relationship now based in the full freedom and the active work he's doing through us. So words like Galatians 2:20 that we see, I, Sam Hill, yes, yes, dude, have been crucified. Wait a minute, I'm 43, I do have a bad memory, but I don't remember hanging on a cross. You probably don't either. But I am in a federated relationship to the reality of Jesus, who really did live on this earth and really did die a cross. By my faith, I am united with him in his crucifixion with Christ. And it's no longer I, but it's, what a beautiful name it is, Jesus Christ, who lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me, purpose of why he united us in federal relationship with him. He gets really tangible into the practical realities of grace spelled out in Ephesians 2:5-6, where we see, even while we were dead in our transgressions, Romans 3:23, he has made us alive. Together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him. And he's seated at the right hand side of God, but he declares the finished work, that we are one with him, that he actually seated us with him. The finished, completed work of what he's done, the trial's done, and he's a really good attorney and the judge in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So Christ was crucified. I was crucified. Christ made alive. Christ raised up. And the active work, I've been raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places on earth as it is in heaven. Do you see that in those words? His kingdom. We look, kingdom reality. He's presently about his kingdom right now in and through the finished work with you and the future tense work in us. So we look to him and his living word to go beyond the how. So you and I, yes, people, that's true about us, federal, completed, and active. So then clearly I can rest in the reality that so you are a ship that was built for something. And that is how he did it. By uniting you with him in his death, in his resurrection, and the seated place with him in the present active work of the kingdom of God. So then, why did the sun come up this morning? We all felt it. It was pretty hot. The sun rose, and I bet you it's going to rise tomorrow. Only the Father, not even the Son, gets to know when he's done, because he's about his work living through you and I. So we look for purpose then. That's how I was rebuilt. So I look to him for his living word for vision. We use the word vision in our language as it's another English word that more closely ties to that word vision in Scripture, and it's revelation. Not just revelation in the name of that final book of the Bible, but God is the revealer of direction. It is his word, it is his spirit that is the revealer. We get to see Scripture speak to that in the working of the Holy Spirit in us, who's that intercessor for understanding of the word of God, and he reveals. He reveals not only understanding, but also the work that's ahead. This particular passage that we land on is uber literal for our vision. So much of Scripture, much of it written by Paul, it's really important that we look at tenses, whether past completed or present active or future to come. And this one in our English language saved those tenses really well, and he just spells it out. So before we break that apart, which is so familiar to us, join me right where you're sitting, or if you're online watching, or you're walking in the park or enjoying a cigar and a glass of wine, read this out loud with me. Open your text and look at your Scripture and read this text out loud with me. It's in your bulletin, it's in your Bible, it's on your phones. Join me. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. That is God's word, active as it was, as he with the Holy Spirit in Paul penned it at that moment when it was written and sustained in the canon of protection to us. We write it right now. It says real time right now for you. So, now we talk about those tenses. For by grace you have been saved. By grace. Look at that, Ephesians 2:5-6. That is it, the reality of what was accomplished. That's all past tense. Has been saved. Past tense, accomplished, finished work. You can't mess that one. Security of salvation, it's accomplished. Through what? My very important job, to sit in that leather chair in the courtroom and say nothing, but I have faith in my federated relationship with Christ Jesus. So that is true about me. And just so I don't screw it up, as often as I wanted to do 10, 15 times an hour in the preparation even of this message, go, how do I say it right, Jesus? How do I do that? Not as a result of works. No one can boast. It's all his doing. okay, God, I just stand up because I'm a man of faith and trust that I'm going to do this oddly this morning. You've got to cover it. Nothing I can do to make that work but be in a federal faith relationship with him. Verse 10, now he gets present tense. For we are, right now today, his workmanship. He's touching with that his workmanship also the aspect of sanctification, that ever-present, continual maturation of experience in the reality that I am fully holy and have everything in me, and may I continue to mature in that experience and expression. Created in, now he gets accomplished again, created, past tense, done in the work of Christ Jesus, now he gets future tense. There's a future. For what? That I would do something. That I would not just rest in the harbor. I must have a harbor. But that port is not the place that I was built for. There are good, good works that I'm wired for good works. And he doesn't finish there. He expounds with, God prepared those good works beforehand. We don't have to drum them up. And he prepared them so that we would walk in them. And I forever want to read those words, see those words, spell that word walk, W-A-L-K, and I want to feel the word stroll. The light, beautiful work that the accomplishing of any amount of my stumbling, falling, crawling in that work, the fruit of the Spirit is going to be the accomplishing of it. And it's as hard as me strolling on the beach with the one I love and my wife, and the simplicity of that, with Jesus in me strolling on a beach. That's the hard work of what he's doing for us in vision. All right. To us in Open Door Fellowship, we have a vision statement. You've been seeing this for a while, or if you're seeing it for the first time, this is the vision statement of Open Door Fellowship. And throughout the history of Open Door Fellowship, and it's my prayer that for all the way until Christ's return, we continue to have something that we refer to as the essentials of ministry. And they fit on a little piece of paper, or they fit on your website, they fit on your app, and they're words that are all rooted. Every essential is the rooting of the Word of God, because God has called us to a practical application of the grace of God. This vision statement is as succinct as we can be with the amount of words on a space that encompasses all that is our essentials, and all that is in the diversity of our unique expressions of each ministry expression, from Open Door to the World, getting to Bosnia, to our children's ministry, through our youth ministry and our adult ministry. It's in our work crew. It's in our home groups. It's in your home group. This is the vision for Open Door Fellowship. Why is it valuable to have a vision statement? Because there's a we factor. Ecclesia, you and I. And this says what we are doing together. It says where we are going together. That there's destination, there's plan, there's purpose of the active current work of ushering in the kingdom of God that God has called us to actively do and not only rest in. This abstract, figurative picture that I get every time I see or pray for this vision statement, I get this picture, and it's one, it's abstract, and I confess it's drawn on PowerPoint, so not the most artistic piece, but it's the picture I continually get of the finished, accomplished work that he's done in us, but the active work that he is purposing, and he has chosen such a way that I, in my clumsy failings, am the hands and feet of God, that he gets to reach you and I. Not me alone. There's no aspect of staff accomplishes this or elders accomplish this. It's the body of Christ, of which we are one element of his great body of Christ in the fellowship of Open Door Fellowship. So, this picture, abstract as it can be, those beams coming out of us, you and I, yes, yes, people, they have to be translated then into practical, tangible, real-time stuff. You and I know where God has met us. He lives in the nitty-gritty. We get to see where Jesus' engagement across the Gospels. He lives in the nitty-gritty every day, in the redemption not only of the hard, but the transforming of influence even through the great. He gets really real, not just romantic on a picture on a screen. So we have to find tangible avenues that we get to Ephesians 2:10, walk in. So with this vision out before us, We seek avenues of good works confirmed by trust in the others trusting us in the influence of Christ in and through us. Those are a bunch of words, but they really translate into just like Bosnia. God gave us a call and a passion 22 years ago. And those who landed had no idea what would be received or the environment to engage in. But years and years again and again, pursuing service and entering into the need space, God longs for the world to experience his love. We are convinced and have experienced that he is experienced greatly. His love is experienced greatly in the process of meeting the needs of others outside of ourselves. So just like he's done in Bosnia, we've pursued over and over again through our history, outside of our walls, outside, beyond our doors. God, where are needs that we get to enter in real time into the lives of others and show us where they trust the influence of Christ Jesus in us? And that doesn't always, or most often does not, look like religious track handing. It is actually sacrificially engaging in the needs and the lives of others. So we have most tangibly seen this, for sure, as I refer to, in basic building blocks in our missional expression and our cross-cultural ministries of Open Door to the World. But it's not only there where we get to be missional. God has prepared a missions field for us right here in Central Phoenix that is beyond what we imagined. And he's inviting us into this as one body together, an influence that has years and years of impact ahead of us. I'm going to invite Shannon McBride, who is our pastor of community and fellowship, to come up and give us the slightest little glimpse into the beauty that we get to engage in as a body ahead of us. Shannon is most like the delivery person of an invitation. Where she spends her days is discovering the invitation that our whole body, every one of you, is being invited into. And this morning she gets to give you glimpses of that beautiful invitation. Her role is not like our other roles where we've had specific ministry expressions different than the others. This touches every ministry, every home group, every one of us is Open Door invited into this as a whole body.
Go.
I want to interrupt you, though. I want to just make you stand up here on the way for you.
I've got 4 minutes now. I have lots to say. Oh, this, need the clicker. Hi, friends. So I could spend another hour. Is that all right? Okay, but I'm not going to. I'm going to give you a quick overview of what God is inviting us into. And my hope and my prayer is that you will get as excited, or even a little bit as excited as I am, about what God has prepared for us as a fellowship, us as the body of Christ to enter into together. So this morning, as I look in this room, there's just a whole bunch of different stories. There's people who are celebrating engagements, and there are people who are first time here. They welcome. And there are people who've been here since the church started 40 years ago. And there are people who are brokenhearted today and without hope. And there are people who came here, please, God, I just need to meet with you. I just need to know that you haven't abandoned me. And there's everything in between. That's the body of Christ today in this space, our fellowship. And so I'm speaking to every one of you that what we're talking about, these works that he's prepared for us, is for you. We need you. And there's something healing and powerful that happens when we step into them. So as I share where we're going, I want you to hear and believe that I'm inviting you. This is 19 North. You've seen the logo. I want to just give you a quick expression of what it's about. What's so cool, it's an area. It's Dunlap to Montebello, 15th Avenue to 23rd. But more importantly, it's this. It's our community working together. Churches, Open Door Fellowship, right smack in the middle of it. Governments, neighborhood groups, city offices, businesses, schools, and we're all working together. We're sitting at the same table talking about how could we collaborate our resources, our people, our vision for a common goal. And that common goal is this, that in 19 North, every business would thrive, every student would succeed, and every neighborhood would be safe. So the question is, okay, where's Jesus in that? Why are we gonna, he's us. He's Christ in us, in all of those venues, representing him, loving those that we encounter, being his love and light in this community. And the opportunities are so amazing, and that's like the door is just blown open. I'm going to give you this much of what's going on, but we have a meeting scheduled for next Wednesday night where I can elaborate much more. And I want you, I need you to say, well, I want to play, because I would love to have you come be part of this. Here's just a snippet of some of the things that we get to do together. So this is our expression as a fellowship, as a church, Christ's body, and we are going to act and have his presence in every part of this community. We've got a community garden, groundbreakings this year, and we need everything. We need people who want to move rocks, we need designers, we need donations, we need workers, we need planters, we need expertise, we need everything for that garden. So there's a place at that table for all of you. We have an art center that's now opened up. So that's us getting to pull the artists out of the community and love them and encourage them and give them voice. We will have classes. You can take a class. You can teach a class. You can just go and visit. We're going to have local art exhibited on a regular basis. I need a curator who'd help make that happen. So we need everything. We've got a community plaza. Get this. The Good Shepherd Building on 19th Avenue and Northern is renaming the plaza 19th Avenue Community Plaza. I know. It's our space. They're redoing it so that there's going to be life and tables and shade and live music, and we're going to have second Saturdays where there's going to be food trucks there, and we're going to be just mixing and mingling and pulling the community out together with art and music and food and fun. I need you. I need you to be there. I need you to wipe off a table or meet somebody who's there or help set up or just sit down and have a glass of wine and just be among and represent him in this community. School partnerships, incredible. The schools, our hands are wide open. We've got 4 grade schools and 1 high school, and I'm sitting down with them, and they are all in to say, how do we, as a community, meet some of the needs that are profound in our schools? We have many, many kids who go home and don't have enough food in our community. So everything from food to clothing to meeting the wish list of their libraries and mentor program, much more is happening with our schools, and I need you. I need you to come and engage in any part of that. I just was thinking, like, if everyone just does some part, imagine 600 of us out there loving this community, the significance that could happen from that. We've got community events happening left and right, and you'll see a schedule. I can give that to you, but I need you there. I need you just to be his love and his light and be present, participate in whatever way you want. Sometimes we have them on Sunday so that you can just literally walk out the door and be there. But I want you to participate. I need you to participate. We've got an employment fair. We're going to be trying to hire every person in 19 North at the highest paying job they can qualify for. And we get to help them qualify, whether it's filling out their resume or encouraging them or praying for them or showing up at the fair with them or calling them afterward and say, how'd it go? We get to do that. It's going to be in this room. So that employment fair is going to be with that on the wall. We're going to have the community in here. And you guys, there is so, so much more. That's like the tip of the iceberg. So if you want to know more, if there's anything stirring in here, and I pray that it is, next Wednesday night come, and I can unfold it more and give more details, and I want to hear from you, and I want to have great conversations. I would also love to sit with any of you. Sam and I would love to just talk about what part gets you excited and help you find that and discover that. But most of all, join us, because this is the purpose of Christ's church, is that we would take all that we're learning and receiving from this place and give it away in spades. And we're going to get to do that together, which will mature us and make us healthier and stronger and even bind us closer as a family. So I hope that I hear from a whole bunch of you, and I hope I see you on Wednesday as we move forward into our tomorrows together. Sam? Did I say everything? Is that all my slides? Yeah.
Yeah. Don't go anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Stick around. So in short summary, with this out before us, you guys, what we see in this vision for Open Door is we see something old. This vision has been, and this language and this reality of the Spirit in us has been here all along in the history of Open Door. Something old, something new. Don't miss that today. This day is a demarcation day in the future of Open Door Fellowship. Beginning today, very deliberate in this vision that God's given us in avenues of influence, it is directive, decisional, vision engagement in the practical avenues and how our ministries engage within the avenues of practical experiential engagement in 19 North and beyond. So something old, something new in this vision, and you guys, the avenues of expression, the reality of what he's calling us into, there's no amount of church staff that gets to satisfy this. There's no amount of me and the elders. This is what God is entrusting this fellowship with the influence of this body, you individually and us, Ecclesia, as part of his great, great church that he's inviting us into it. We're not alone in this and believers. There's six churches that are together. And you know what's so beautiful at that table of just the church leadership? Is a spiritual engagement and a commitment to discover what's God doing with the spiritual influence in their bodies. And it's profound in what he is bringing in hunger into how do we practically experience grace with these diverse churches. He's doing a tremendous amount of work. I could go on that one, just interfaith for a long time, and I'll stop right there. We'll talk more about it on that night of the 28th. Well, Shannon, let's pray.
Okay, happy to. Can you guys, will you stand up and can we grab a hand as we come together as a body, as a group, as friends? Can I grab your hand?
Sure.
Jesus, we are your body. You have said that in your word. You've asked us to live that out fully. And Jesus, I just come before you and say, do it for us. Go before us. Ignite our hearts. God, I'm so excited for what you're inviting us into. I pray that you would be the one that just stirs it in us and gets more and more of us standing up saying, me too, let's go. Let's go love for Jesus. So thank you, Jesus, for what you have prepared for us to step into.
Father God, it is overwhelming to me in the day-to-day when you are bringing need and invitation for our engagement in these spaces that we would be the ones being asked by a superintendent of a school district that covers the lives of so many, that this body of believers would be the ones that sit at a table or enter into the lives of students that they call at risk, and that we would be trusted to be the ones that share with them where there's hope, enter into them related to school, and may a relationship of trust develop. This is exactly what you called us into and how we get to be trusted and influenced in Bosnia. This is what you've called us to. It sounds like simple words amplified on microphones and speakers and bouncing in this little room sometimes, and it feels so humble and odd to me in my humanity. But God, this is kingdom. Your kingdom on earth right now, as it is in heaven. Jesus, I'm overwhelmed when I see the magnitude of what you're trusting us with. And God, may it be done and accomplished. May you move in us with the practical pieces. Show us how it fits on our calendars. Show us how we get to discover every bit of resource of our time and our sacrifice and our gifts, get to make way to making a difference in the lives of others, and that they would come to know the safe place of redemption in you, Jesus. In your name, amen.
Amen.